The Institute of Child Nutrition is proud to present iBites. Here you will learn about all aspects of child nutrition programs, from research to resources, from oral histories to best practices. Each iBites episode features a wealth of information to help promote the continuous improvement of child nutrition programs. I'm Dr. LaWanda Morse, the Associate Director of Grants at the Institute of Child Nutrition, and I will be your host. Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to another episode of iBites. This month, we have a very special guest. We have Ms. Charlsa Fortner, who is with us from the Office of Food Safety from the USDA. And I'm going to let Charlsa give us her official title because it was a little bit longer than I was willing to attempt. So we're going to talk about food safety and what that means to us as child nutrition professionals and what they have to offer as far as help for those of us who are in the child nutrition field. So, Charlsa, welcome for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So let's start and get your title correct, because I probably butchered that a little bit. You're a food safety specialist.
Correct. You did just fine. It's my complete title's a little long, but I will give it to you, and you may learn a little something about USDA structure along the way. So
awesome.
So my name is Charlsa Fortner, and I am a food safety specialist in the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food and Nutrition Service. And within the Food and Nutrition Service, we have an office known as Special Nutrition and Safety. And the Office of Food Safety falls under that umbrella. And that's where I work, in the Office of Food Safety.
So how long have you been in that office, Charlsa?
I've been in that office for about 3 years. I've been with the Department of Agriculture for about 27.
Wow, that is awesome. Congratulations for your time with the department.
Thank you. It's all been great fun.
So tell us a little bit about the Office of Food Safety, and exactly what does that office do? You know, sometimes we hear about food safety and how important it is and how USDA plays a role in that, but tell us exactly what your office does.
Absolutely. You know, most people don't spend a lot of their busy working hours thinking about food safety, but there's a small staff in the USDA Food and Nutrition Service that does only that all day long, if you can imagine. And that is the small but mighty Office of Food Safety. So our mission is pretty simple, but it's very important. And that's to protect children who are served by FNS programs from foodborne illness. So just to give you a little context about what FNS food assistance programs are, there are 15 of them. We tend to focus mainly on those that serve children. So that includes the National School Lunch Program, the School Breakfast Program, and the Child and Adult Care Program. But having said that, we do provide some technical assistance to other programs, like the Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Program or the Supplemental Foods Program, like WIC, when they have food safety needs. So one thing I do want to point out from the start, when you think about food safety and USDA or the government, people tend to think in terms of regulations. Our office is not regulatory at all. We interact with a lot of agencies that have regulatory responsibilities, like the USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. But our office, as a unit, doesn't write or maintain any of these regulations on our own.
Okay, that's very good to know.
Yeah.
So I think one of the biggest things sometimes when people hear food safety or the Office of Food Safety is they automatically think recalls. Surely that's not the majority of what you do. Can you kind of go into what part of your role that plays?
Absolutely. And you're correct. We do tend to jump right into that big R word and talk about recalls. But really, everything that our office does supports child nutrition professionals' efforts to really provide access to safe and healthy school meals. So yes, we do recalls, but we also work in 5 pretty broad priority areas. I'm just going to tell you, those are agency support, partnerships and collaborations, research, that's a big one, education and training, which is another big one, and outreach and expansion.
So maybe let's just kind of start from the top of those key areas, and let's just talk about your priority areas. Let's start with the agency support. What role do you play there?
Okay. Happy to start at the top. We work with our partners within the Food and Nutrition Service on whatever they're doing that has a food safety aspect to it. Sometimes that's policy issues, sometimes it's legislative actions, or it may be an even broader departmental USDA initiative that has a food safety component to it. Then recalls falls under agency support. We do that on a daily basis on anything that is part of the USDA Foods Purchase Program. So we respond to food safety complaints that come in that have anything to do with USDA foods, and then we'll collaborate with other staffs within our office or within the agency to help resolve those issues. And if there does happen to be a food recall that involves USDA foods, we're ready to help manage the recall. And we work really hard to get the recalled foods out of the supply chain as quickly as we can. Believe it or not, we get a lot of food safety questions that come in from our regional offices and state agencies that involve our FNS programs and the foods that are served there. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a liaison role with other regulatory and procurement agencies. It's kind of a complicated web, but that's, again, working with people like the USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service, the Food and Drug Administration, and the USDA Agricultural Marketing Service, which is one of our sister agencies who purchases USDA foods on our behalf to go into our programs.
You know, I think it's interesting how a lot of people will tend to refer to USDA and think of them as just being this one giant group of people, but it's interesting to see how there's so many umbrellas underneath that major agency. And leading into your second priority area, which is partnerships and collaborations, it's interesting to see how well you all collaborate together to help support the child nutrition professionals.
Well, you know, Dr. Morse, it's interesting that you pulled that out because that's exactly what we want people to think. We want people to think that we are one big USDA department, and our goal is really to provide resources to the people who need them. And, you know, they don't necessarily need to know which agency is coming from or which office it's coming from, as long as it is exactly what they need to fill their needs. So I love that you pulled that out. But yes, we do a lot of work with offices within Food and Nutrition Service and also within the broader USDA umbrella, so to speak. And a lot of times if it's a food safety need, then we're in a good position to sort of take the lead on answering those questions and providing those resources that are needed. So it's a really cool role that we get to take there. But I do want to mention just a couple of our very important partners. And the host of today's podcast, the Institute of Child Nutrition, provides so many fabulous food safety resources for busy child nutrition professionals. And the second one is the Center for Food Safety Research and Child Nutrition Programs, located at Kansas State University. So together, we kind of work like a three-legged stool to support child nutrition professionals with research, training, and technical support in food safety. So I know that somebody from the Institute of Child Nutrition is going to talk to us in a few minutes about the Institute's resources, so I'm not going to steal their thunder.
Yes, we have Liz Dixon. She's an education and training specialist, and she'll be thankful that you don't take her spot away.
Good.
So I think one of the key components that you mentioned, Charlsa, is that it is research-based, and research is one of your priority areas. So tell us what type of research, of course, I know what we do here at ICN, but our listeners may not, and in conjunction with K-State, that three-legged stool, what role research plays in food safety?
Well, research is really, really important to school food safety, and the key word there is schools. There's a good bit of food safety research that's general to other audiences that are out there, but there we found when we were setting up some of our cooperative agreements that a lot of that research wasn't directly applicable to schools because school environments are so different from so many other food service industries. For example, school days start and end at different times. It's not like a restaurant that starts early in the morning, goes till late in the evening, and you really have time to do things. You know, often there's not time to take care of leftovers the way, say, another business would. So what we're really after is getting to some research that is specific to the unique environment that is school lunch, or school food service. So that is really where the Center for Food Safety Research comes in. And like I said, it's all specific to child nutrition programs. The Center for Food Safety Research has been in existence since 2011, and they've done some really great research for us in the area of food safety, including areas like food allergies, how different types of foods actually cool in cold storage, how long it takes them to reach a certain temperature if they're in a certain type of pan, that kind of research. They've also looked at foods that are taken on field trips. Say it's 90 degrees outside and you've got a cooler full of sandwiches. You want to be able to serve those sandwiches safely and know that you've taken good care of them. So the center is actually doing research to determine how foods behave in environments like that, which is very valuable. And they've also done a lot of research on behavioral aspects and some of the tools that schools can use to create a strong culture of food safety all around within their operations. And the neat thing about this research that is so focused on school nutrition programs, it's wonderful research on its own, but what it allows us to do is to take that research and use it to design educational resources for school nutrition professionals that are not only useful, but are accurate to their unique environment.
One of the things that we've talked about in previous podcasts is, as people in the child nutrition field, especially whether you're new or a veteran in the field, it's sometimes very daunting when you think about all of the things that you have to deal with on a daily basis, from how to set up your serving line to figuring out if you have a reimbursable meal to how to hold the food at a safe temperature. So I think those resources are really key. Tell us about some of the resources that you guys have available and how our listeners can access those.
Sure, I would love to. You know, you're exactly right. You know, my office has the luxury of sitting around thinking about food safety all day long. Most people don't.
Right.
So, yeah, what we want to do is make that easy for people. We want to make getting food safety training and education and finding the resources that they need if they have specific questions just as easy as it can possibly be so that it doesn't take time away from things like knowing what a reimbursable meal is and your procurement activities, all the other stuff that you do on a daily basis. So we really do put a lot of effort into designing resources that are innovative, but yet they're practical for people to use on a daily basis. So, you know, we're always looking for the latest food safety trends and issues to make sure that our resources are timely. But we realize that our audience has some unique challenges when it comes to training. As I said, child nutrition professionals wear a number of hats during the day. So we don't always expect those professionals to be able to carve out a huge chunk of time for food safety training. So we've developed some resources like really, really short videos that will show how to perform a critical food safety task correctly, like how to wash your hands in just a couple of minutes, or how to correctly calibrate a food thermometer in a couple of minutes, or totally lost my train of thought on the last one. how to properly take temperatures correctly. So we've also developed a Summer Meals Food Safety Resource Kit that contains a lot of useful items that can be used in summer meals programs, actually useful items that you just need to have on hand, things like a food thermometer, stickers and magnets with proper cooling and storage temperatures for coolers and refrigerators, a tip card and a lanyard with some important food safety messages if you've got a volunteer that's never handled food before, things like that. So we've even got like a phone coaching series for times when there's just not time or even technology support to do anything else. And where you can find our resources, and I would encourage you to take a look at our resources, they're on our website. And I'm just going to give you the whole long web address. It is www.fns.usda.gov/OFS/food safety. And if you do have a specific question, we have our own email address at FNS. So somebody on our staff will check that mailbox and get right back to you. That is food safety altogether, just food safety at fns.usda.gov. Or you can always look for us at meetings or conferences and the occasional webinar.
That's great. It's awesome to know that they being child nutrition professionals, have access to you guys and to that information when they need it.
Absolutely.
Which is very interesting. The conversation that we're having, it really has led us through your five priority areas. So it's easy to see how those build on each other, which brings us actually to the fifth one, which was outreach and expansion. So really, what is your outreach plan, or how do you guys handle outreach to the public?
Well, actually, two of the things that we consider outreach may be things that you've heard of before. And probably our most popular outreach activity is Produce Safety University. So do you know about Produce Safety University?
I do. I actually had the privilege of assisting with the Produce Safety University about 3 years ago. I had only been on board here at ICN maybe a year. And we went to Tupelo as part of the field trip with Produce Safety University to visit a hydroponic farm called St. Bethany's Fresh. It's located just outside of Tupelo. I believe it's in Pontotoc, Mississippi. And we actually saw them growing tomatoes, and I can't remember what the other item was that they were getting ready to grow, but long story short, they also grow cucumbers. And now our local school district here in Oxford uses and brings in the cucumbers, the mini cucumbers that they grow there. So when my girls were telling me that they had fresh cucumbers, and I told them I had been to the farm, I was all excited and, you know, tell them about how the hydroponics work. They were less than impressed, needless to say, but I thought it was really cool that I'd had the opportunity to see that. And that was thanks to Produce Safety University.
Yeah. See how that outreach works? So participants in Produce Safety University get a lot of really good information from the course. It really is a week of immersion in the produce industry. So they get to go on field trips like the one Dr. Morse mentioned that she and I went on. They go to places like farms. They see things grow. They go to school gardens. They'll visit maybe something like a fresh cut facility or maybe a produce warehouse. So they get to see firsthand what happens in the food safety area in these kinds of places, and they get to learn how things are handled before it gets to them, which is very important.
You know, and I think one of the, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say one of the neat things when I had the opportunity to observe the PSU here at ICN was that you guys brought in the produce for those child nutrition professionals to actually look at and try to evaluate themselves for quality produce. It was intriguing to watch that process.
Yes, that's a lot of fun. We do a couple of produce labs during the week where, as Dr. Moore said, we bring in different types of produce, and child nutrition professionals who are participating actually get to analyze the fruits and vegetables. We have somebody from the Agricultural Marketing Service there who is on their grading staff, so they're able to show them things like quality and condition defects and how those do or don't affect food safety. And they talk about procurement, things that you can do to make produce more affordable, talk about grades and what type of grade produce you might need for some presentation versus another, so that you're not paying for a type of produce that is not necessarily what you need for that. So, you know, and that teaches participants how to improve their shelf life, how to make students more accepting of these fruits and vegetables, how to support agriculture within their communities, and the procurement of not only safe but affordable produce for their programs, which helps them buy more of it.
So, Charles, how do they, our listeners, get involved in PSU? I was fortunate because it was here at the Institute, let's say I'm out in the service field. How do I get involved?
Well, that's a very good question, and actually, there's a nomination process that comes up to us through state agencies. So if you're really interested in Produce Safety University, you probably want to reach out to your state agency and let them know so that you can get your name in the hat for a nomination to go. We would love to be able to just open it up to just enroll yourself, but I guess it's good and bad that demand is strong enough that we need to make sure that we need to get people from every state to our classes. So there is a nomination process. So again, state agencies.
That's awesome to know. And it's great to know that people are that interested that, you know, they want to know how to get in and that they want to learn more about it. I think that's great.
Yes, it is very popular.
So what would you say, Charles, is the biggest training need of school or child nutrition professionals when it comes to food safety?
The biggest training need? That's a big question.
It is a big question.
Yeah. You know, I would say just based on the popularity of things like Produce Safety University and some of our other food science and food safety trainings, I know those things are very popular, but you know, I think I would go back to just those basic four food safety categories that the government has put forward: the cook, chill, clean, and separate. You know, just the basics of how to do those four things.
Right.
You know, the linchpins of food safety, so to speak. You know, knowing how to wash your hands, knowing what temperature to hold food at, knowing what proper cooking temperatures are, and knowing that certain foods need to be separate from other foods so that you don't cross-contaminate. I think just those basics are very important and can't be stressed enough.
One of the things that Liz will talk to us about here in a few minutes is the resources that we have here at ICN that will assist child nutrition professionals in keeping those as reminders for their staff. We've got several mini posters and fact sheets that they can post to kind of help the staff remember those things. So it's interesting that you said that. That's a great segue to what Liz is going to speak about.
Yeah, and those are great resources that the Institute has. Absolutely.
Well, Charles, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today or that you feel is key for them to know as far as the Office of Food Safety and what you guys have to offer?
I can't think of anything, Dr. Morse, other than to say thanks for listening and feel free to reach out to us anytime if you have questions or need help accessing any of our resources, we'll be glad to get you pointed in the right direction. We'd love to hear from you.
We sincerely appreciate you taking time out of your busy day and sharing with us and letting us know what resources are out there and how we can access them, because I think the more information that people have, the better we can do our jobs and the safer our children are when it comes to the food, knowing that they're eating safe, healthy food, which is whether we're parents or community members, we're always concerned about. So thank you very much.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me on iBites.
Have a great day.
You too.
Tune in next month for more iBites. And until then, remember, there's nothing more important than the health and well-being of our nation's children. This project has been funded at least in part with federal funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food and Nutrition Service through an agreement with the Institute of Child Nutrition at the University of Mississippi. The contents of this publication do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, nor does mention of trade names, commercial products, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. The University of Mississippi is an EEOAA Title VI, Title IX, Section 504, ADA, ADEA employer. In accordance with federal law and U.S. Department of Agriculture policy, this institution is prohibited from discriminating on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, age, or disability. To file a complaint of discrimination, write USDA Director, Office of Civil Rights, Room 326W, Whitten Building, 1400 Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 202-50-9410, or call 202-720-5964. USDA is an equal opportunity provider and employer.